Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
Truth this morning. The Holy Spirit won't force Himself on you. He wants you to ask for revival. Be prepared for revival. Be ready for a change in your Christian heart and life. Something to follow by. Amen. This morning, we're going to be asking for revival. Now, next Sunday begins our revival services. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited about what God has in store for us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
God is just waiting to pour out His blessings upon us. And this morning, I want us to prepare our hearts to receive all that God has for us. Because God will bless a prepared heart. So what do we need to do? We need to be asking for revival. Now, we've been preaching for several Sundays about revival. We've talked about what it is, what it isn't. We've talked about why it should happen and why we need it. We've also preached that it has to begin in the individual. But the final element this morning about revival is we need to discuss, is we need to ask for it. Now, God will not pour out His blessings on us unless we ask Him to do so. The Holy Spirit will not force Himself upon you. He won't go where He isn't wanted. He won't do a mighty work where the heart isn't prepared. Matthew 13, verse 58 says, "And He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Are we going to deny God's blessing upon us because of our own selves? We need a lack of self. We need God to enter here. Now, have you ever been somewhere where you felt like you weren't wanted? Maybe you had to be there. Or maybe even you wanted to be there, but you just weren't wanted. It's a very uncomfortable feeling, isn't it? You see, Jesus wants to make an impact on your life next week. He wants to renew the Holy Spirit within you and change your life. He wants to revive your spirit with His Holy Spirit. He wants to bring you into that close personal relationship with Him. He wants to give you the power, the strength, the victory, the peace, and the hope that you so desperately need. But He won't do this mighty work unless you ask Him. Unless you are ready. Unless you are prepared. Unless you desire Him to do so. Ask for the Holy Spirit to do a work in your life during these revival services. That's what they're here for. We got to be prepared for that revival. Turn with me to Luke chapter 3, starting at verse 3. And here we're referring to John the Baptist here. Luke 3, 3 through 4. "And He went into all the region around the Jordan," referring to John the Baptist, "proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make His path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight. And the rough places shall become level ways. Prepare ye the way of the Lord.'" Now, when you have company coming over, don't you prepare? You prepare a meal. You prepare the house. You prepare the activities that you're going to do. Now, in biblical history, when a king came to visit his subjects, they would make preparations ahead of time. They would clean the village of all the trash. They would fix the potholes in the street. And sometimes they'd even build new highways when they came, just for that event. But you see, the king is coming. And I'm not talking about the rapture even. I'm talking about his coming into your life to change you, to revive you, to use you, to give the joy, the hope, the faith, the love and power that you so richly need. He wants you to get yourself prepared for his coming next week. Make his path straight. Now, I don't like detours. I'm sure you don't either. Now, sometimes there will be road construction, an accident, or a fallen tree on the road, or a train stuck on the tracks, and you have to take a detour. Sometimes many miles out of your way. I don't like detours. I like to go straight to my destination. But Jesus has a path all prepared to go straight to your heart next week. He wants to go straight to your problems and meet them. He wants to go straight to your faith and strengthen it. He wants to go straight to your needs and supply them. He wants to go straight to your trials and guide you through them. He wants to go straight to your fears and calm them. Jesus doesn't want any detours, so make his path straight. You see, he doesn't want to go around the detour of a heart that isn't available, a life that isn't clean and expecting to be blessed, a sin that isn't confessed and repented of, or a stubborn will that isn't surrendered to his will and way. Maybe there are some sins that we need to deal with, to confess and to repent of. Amen? Here's a story for you. Four preachers got together and they talked about how people came to them and poured out their hearts to them. And they often advised them to confess their sins. And the preachers decided that since they had no one to confess their sins to, it might be a good idea for them to confess to each other. First preacher says this, "I like to gamble, and sometimes it becomes a problem." Second preacher says, "Well, I like to drink a little, but nobody knows about it." The third says, "I have a problem controlling my spending, and I've maxed out all my credit cards." The fourth preacher says nothing. This makes the other three uncomfortable. They're saying, "Well, hey, we've shared our sin, now it's your turn." Reluctantly, he goes, "I love to gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here." Maybe we have some sins that we need to confess and repent of. We need to spend some time preparing for the coming of the King, preparing for revival, preparing for the blessing, preparing for the change that Jesus wants to bring to our lives. We need to make a straight path for Jesus to follow to get to our hearts. Now, in all this, we've talked about the good things about revival, the feel-good stuff. What about the dangers of revival? Are there dangers? Absolutely. Turn to Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45. Matthew chapter 12, 43 through 45. And I just want you to refer to that. I want you to read that to yourself. And as you're reading that, I want to tell you this. When revival comes to a place, which I believe will come here, we are walking on very dangerous ground in the weeks and the months following this revival. In the text of scripture we are just reading there, you're going to see the dangers of revival. Because one, the expulsion of the unclean spirit. Why is that a bad thing? It can take place by human will. We don't want this to happen because we want it to happen. We want this to happen because we've asked God to do so. Too many of us rely on ourselves to fix the problem instead of letting God do His business. Note this, how about a moral decision for someone to clean up his or her life? Sounds reasonable. It's what we preach on. It's what we teach on. It's what God has called us to do. Where's the danger in that? Well, it can take place by a short-lived spiritual experience. Now we have revival services next week, and it's going to be high energy. We're going to get to the core of the word. People are going to get excited. They're going to make decisions. What are they going to do with those decisions? We can make decisions all we want, but what's the follow-up? What's the application? See, the revival needs to get beyond warm fuzzies you might experience in a service. Don't let those feelings of renewal in your spirit be fleeting. Don't let the fire burn out. And the application of that is this. There are times we confess and repent of sin and seem to wander right back into them. Why? Because we have not yet filled that spot with the fruit of the Spirit. Also, if our life is in order, but we have no filling of the Holy Spirit, all we are is empty and clean inside, and the demon can move right back in and take control. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is about David and Goliath. It talks about when he defeated Goliath, he didn't just defeat him, did he? He cut off the head. What is your Goliath? As you're sitting here this morning, what is your Goliath? What is your hang up? What is the sin that we need to be repented of? Approach that this week. Get prepared. Cut the head off of it. Be ready for the Holy Spirit to work within you. Now, the invitation of the unclean spirit, he invites more of his friends to join in, doesn't he? Why does he do that? Because there is strength in numbers. And the more that there are, the less chance he has of getting booted out again. When we repent of sin, Satan's just ready to jump right back in, isn't he? He's ready. Are you ready for him? Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. This is going to be talking about the situation of the person that maybe during revival, they may be worse off than what they were to begin with. Now, how can that happen? To attend revival and be worse off than you were before? Talks here, Hebrews 6, 4 through 7. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessings from God. Now flip over to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. A lot of twos. 2 Peter 2:20. And you could just refer to this. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. So what's the application here? Satan does not want you to follow through with any decision that you make next week. He's going to meet you at the church doors. He's going to be waiting for you. Waiting for you to make those claims and promises to God. He's going to be there to knock you down. He may be right there where you are now. Satan wants no part of next week. He wants to destroy it. Case in point, how many people are sick and not here? How many people we know should be here and are not here? How many obstacles have been thrown in our way since we've had the idea of revival? Attacking the people, attacking the leadership. It's a clear-cut sign that Satan knows something good is going to happen here and he wants to foil it. So that being said, if there is a sin or lifestyle you confessed, I promise you, it has already been back to visit you. And just because you got rid of some things does not mean they are gone for good. They are wandering around just waiting to return. If you get rid of some sin, you need to replace it with service and fruits of the Spirit. If you give opportunity for the sin to return, then you will most likely never, never be able to get over it again. What are you struggling with? I have those struggles. What are you struggling with? Even though we struggle, we have to be ready for that change to happen. Now, several years ago, a couple played the lottery and won, winning several million dollars. They were interviewed by the newspaper and they were asked, "What difference would all this money make in your life?" And they replied that they wouldn't be changed by suddenly being millionaires. A year later, the newspaper did a follow-up story. And to the reporter's surprise, the money hadn't made a difference in their lives. They still lived in the modest three-bedroom house, drove the same old car, and had the same jobs as before. Nothing had changed except their bank balance. Now, some of you might say, well, whoa, good for them. They were so content in their lifestyle that they didn't want to change anything. Now, many's reaction might be, what a waste. With millions of dollars in the bank, they weren't willing to change anything. Why would that be so negative? Well, compare it to our lives as Christians. When God saved you, He gave you access to the riches of heavenly blessings. He not only gave you eternal life with a home in heaven, but He gave you the riches of His love, His comfort, His peace, His joy, His fellowship, victory, and hope. What are we doing with all these blessings? Are we just keeping them stored away in the bank account in heaven? Or are we letting these riches produce a change in our life? What can you do to bring on these changes that God so desperately wants to make in your life? John the Baptist didn't just leave them there. He told them what to do. He quotes from chapter 40, verse 4, giving them God's instructions. Every valley shall be filled. Now, maybe there are some potholes in your life that need to be filled. But before that can happen, God will need to send revival to your heart. Now, we talk about potholes and we have that imagery of just nothing, right? Potholes are empty places, holes that need to be filled. What are some in your life? How about the pothole of prayer? You need to spend this next week in prayer, asking God to change you the week of revival. Pray that God will show you what needs to be changed. Pray that God will open your heart to that change. Pray that God will plant that desire for change. Fill your empty pothole with prayer. Maybe it's commitment. You need to commit yourselves to be here next Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and even Saturday for the pre-event. Commit yourselves to it. God won't pour out His blessings on you if you aren't here. You'll miss out on the changes that God wants to make in your life. So fill your empty pothole with commitment. Perhaps you need to fill it with surrender. That means give up, by the way. Are you satisfied with your Christian life? Are you satisfied with your relationship to Christ? Are you willing to surrender or give up that life that you're living now? Or do you want to give that up for a new, exciting life of victory and joy? Then I ask that you give up what you've got now and exchange it for something better. Fill your empty pothole with surrender. See, God wants to fill those potholes this week during our time of revival. It goes on in verse in Isaiah, every mountain and hill shall be brought low. Now, we've got some mountains in our life that need to be made into molehills, amen? Maybe there are some obstacles that need to be removed before God can bring revival to your heart and your life. How about the mountain of worry? When your life is bogged down with worry, your spiritual life is put on hold. Maybe God needs to remove your mountain of worry and send revival to your heart. How about pride? Pride is putting ourselves ahead of God. It's putting our time ahead of God. It's not giving the God the time, the thought, the love, the dedication, the devotion, and the sacrifice that he deserves. Maybe God needs to remove some self from our lives so that we can make room for him. Now, next week, God wants to make some molehills out of the mountains of your life. But it goes on, we need to do this. We need to make the crooked straight. The shortest distance between two points is what? A straight line. Now, when I read about the salvation experience of the Apostle Paul, I read that God sent Saul to a man on the street called Straight. Before God could bless Saul, he literally had to travel the straight road. Now, maybe there are things that you need to get straightened out with somebody you know. Maybe there's somebody you need to forgive. Maybe there's someone you need to ask for forgiveness of. You're not going to be in sweet fellowship in Christ if you are not in fellowship with one of his children. Like I said, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. So let's spend this week straightening out some crooked paths so that Christ can have a direct line to our hearts. The rough ways shall be made smooth. Is your life a bumpy road filled with ups and downs? Up one day, down the next? So much of our Christian life is like a roller coaster, isn't it? So many times we react to every circumstance that comes in to interrupt our lives. Sickness, death, school, sports. They're there to trip us up. They really are. It makes us unfocus ourselves on what's important. We need to remember that God is sovereign. He knows what he's doing. He'll never allow anything into your life that you and he aren't able to handle. That's a popular saying, that God will not throw anything at me that I can't handle. Well, I'm here to tell you that that's false. He's going to throw things at you that are going to put you on your knees. And we need to respond. Maybe there's some bumps in the road that you're experiencing that you need to turn over to him. Can't we do that this week? Put all things aside and focus on God. Can we focus on the things that's important, that's given us life, that's given us these things that we do, the talents. Everything that you are is because of him. We need to focus and give that glory back to God, because he deserves us. We don't deserve it. it needs to be given back to him. Now, Jesus doesn't want you to enter revival week without preparing your hearts to receive all the rich blessings he has for you. But he wants you to ask him for that revival. He wants you to desire revival. He wants you to seek revival. And Jesus wants you to invite him into your Christian life. Now, I'm reminded of Jesus as he talked on the road to Emmaus with two of his followers. Jesus had just risen from the dead and they didn't recognize him. Luke 24:16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And see, it was getting late and they had arrived home. Listen to what happens in Luke 24:28-29. As they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Now, constrained here means that they were compelled and to Jesus to follow them. They took him by the arm. They led him away with them. They latched hold of him, and they wouldn't turn him loose, and they ushered him in to their house. You see, it was then that their eyes were opened, and they realized they had been with Jesus. How many of our eyes here are closed to not see the presence of Christ within us? To not see the Holy Spirit working through this church? He's here now, ready to do the work. We have to allow that to happen. If we don't prepare our hearts for revival, if we ignore the blessings that Jesus wants to pour out on us, if we don't desire the change that Jesus wants to make within us, if we don't constrain Jesus and come to be the Lord of our life, then we will miss out on what it really means to be revived. I'm going to ask now, as this is the last Sunday before revival, I'm going to ask everybody to come to the altar. And as you come to the altar, I want you to pray and ask for revival. I want you to open up your heart to him and confess the sin that needs to be confessed. This should be a time between you and him. This will be a time for you to make that path straight. It'll be a time to welcome and usher in the Holy Spirit to work through you during this revival week. And as you come, I want you to come now. As you come, I want to pray with you. As you make your way up here, I'm going to pray with you. Come on over. Heavenly Father, we ask that you pour your Holy Spirit like a mighty flood into the hearts of all your people, those who are called by your name. May our hearts be washed by the water of the Word and the purifying light of the Holy Spirit. Cleanse the thoughts, wash the hearts, and purify the minds of those who are part of this church, which is your body. Lord, we pray that you would purify the hearts and minds of all your people so that our thoughts are ever turned towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we as individual members and also as a body of believers learn to seek your will in our lives so that our prayers are filtered through the light of your will so that they are turned into your perfect plans and purposes and not our own. May it be the desire of all believers to lift up your name so that you are honored. And may Christ remain the central focus of the intent of our hearts. Lord, we pray that you would revive the hearts of all believers, and especially those who have left their first love, have become involved in the distorted gospel, falling into legalism, or become lukewarm towards you, and draw each one back into a right relationship with you and with each other. We pray and turn the hearts of all your people back to yourself. Our lives are weak and seem to be failing and falling apart. And in our hearts, we know that this is due to a long-term neglect of you and your ways. Forgive us, I pray, and help us to return into true fellowship with you once again. Lord, I believe that you have stirred into our spirit the need to turn from our worldly ways and to look again to Christ. I believe that you have quickened our spirit to call our hearts back to you. Lord, I know that your words tell us that godly sorrow brings repentance, and we know that we have strayed far from you. And Lord, we truly repent in our hearts, and we desire to turn away from the ways that have entrapped us for so long, and help us return back to you. Thank you that even though we have been faithless, you have remained faithful. Awake in each of our hearts a desire to be used by you to bring about a little revival and spiritual awakening in the tiny corner of the world where you have placed us. And build in each of our hearts a unity in the Spirit of Christ so that we may be identified as knowing you. And we pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.